You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon that we've called for what, Donna? Many years.
The standard.
We're honored to be here with you. Hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. And so we're on every week at this time, and we have been for over 17 plus years. And so we enjoy doing this program for the benefit of the listeners out there that want to find out some more things about their Jewish roots and all. And you heard the intro that we came out, that we have, that comes out every week, the things that we do with the Jewishness and the Hebrewism. And so we use that greatly in our teaching. And this book I have before me is a Jewish document, and so we need to find out what God gave them. And there's so much a revelation and illumination we can have in all this as we look at it, because so many things in the Bible that we see in the first covenant especially have double meanings. There's double things, there are patterns for what we're having and seeing here today. So we're going to share some things here with you today a little bit. We hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. Don and I co-pastor a church here in Stewart that we have for 22 years now, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, right out of Revelation 19:10. So we're honored to be here with you. Hope you can stay tuned in. Have ears to hear what the Spirit might share with you today as you listen to what we're going to talk about. So Pastor Donna's got a couple of announcements to make here, and so then we'll move on from that point. So God bless you all for listening again today.
Amen. Glory to God. I want to mention also that we're on the internet, so you can listen to us, you can tune in. Any place in the world, we're on the internet, just go to WCNO.com and go to Saturday and look for Raising the Standard at 12 noon, and you can listen to this broadcast again, or you can listen to many others that we have done in the past. I think there's quite a few, maybe a couple hundred of them on there, and so you can listen to it by way of the internet, which is a great blessing. That's WCNO.com. Amen. And they also have a 24-hour, they're on all 24 hours a day, so it's a great place to listen to music and to get some good teaching. Amen. You mentioned the church, Spirit of Prophecy. That's the name of the ministry. The place where we have fellowship, and we have church every Friday and every Saturday and every Sunday. The weekend is full. Amen. So Friday night we have Shabbat. That's at 7 p.m. And then Sunday morning we have our Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the Spirit of Prophecy.
Hallelujah.
And that comes right out of Revelation 19:10 that he mentioned. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus, or Yeshua, is the Spirit of Prophecy. And that reminds me, we're going to be teaching a prophecy class again soon. So if you are interested in wanting to know more about a prophecy class, about that's activating you to prophesy and to hear how to hear God's voice. Amen. Everybody needs to know how to hear God's voice.
People speak on His behalf.
Many times, how do you know you're hearing God's voice? Well, that's what this class is all about. So if you'd like to do that, you could call and we could put you down and sign you up and let you know exactly when it's going to start. And then we also have classes on Saturday right at 4 o'clock. We're teaching a class about boundaries, and then that's coming pretty close to a finish, and then we'll start into another series, and I believe that we'll let you know what that is. And we also have 2 o'clock, we have a worship arts class, and that's teaching you how to worship God with banners and flags and dancing before the Lord. You know, David danced before the Lord, and where to make a joyful noise and how to worship God in the dance ministry.
Hallelujah.
I don't know why, I just don't really like calling it a dance ministry, because it's more than dance.
It's more than dance.
It's more than arts. It's
total expression.
Yes, amen. It's, we have lots of flags and lots of banners, tabrets.
That's right.
Different ways of worshiping God, amen. So that's at 2 o'clock, so you can call if you want more information on that as well. So I want to mention that we will be having a guest prophet in the house.
Whoa, hallelujah.
Whoa. Every year he comes once or twice a year. Prophet Gary Brooks,
yes,
will be with us at the end of the month on January 30th. That's on a Friday at 7 p.m. And also on Saturday the 31st at 7 p.m. And then on Sunday, that would be February the 1st at 10 a.m. So if you'd like to take in one of those services or
Means,
all of them,
yep,
we'd love to have you come. Amen. So you're just going to be blessed, and I pray that you're blessed with this message that we're going to give today. I'm going to give our telephone number if you'd like to call. We can give you directions on how to find the church. And I know the month is about halfway over, but if you want a calendar, we can also send you a calendar for January. Amen. So the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And if you want to, you can follow us on Facebook. It's just Spirit of Prophecy in Stuart, Florida. Mm-hmm. Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton.
That's right.
So, amen?
Amen.
Okay, Pastor Gene, we're going to talk about...
That's what I was going to share today a little bit, and was thinking about when it came on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pastor Donna's been talking about some Torah portions with our church on Sunday and all.
Right.
And she gave us a chart, and there's a certain section of the Torah that the Jewish people read every week. And so
On the schedule. We're on the right schedule.
On the right schedule. And so we read those verses and chapters that need to be read at that particular time. And so got thinking about it this week, because last week Donna was talking about Genesis chapter 49, how we see over there how Jacob blessed his sons and all that. And it's very interesting to see the prophetic implications to all that. And there's a lot of things prophetic in it to a great extent. And there's a lot of double meanings for things today. But also, their names tell you a little bit about their life. And people don't remember that too much, I guess, when they think about it. When you read your Bible, you can look up a lot of these names of different places that that things happened, the people's names that were there. And there's something about the names, just like there's something about the name of Yeshua.
Oh, there's something about that name.
And what does his name mean? His name means what? Salvation.
Salvation.
And so does Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh and Yahshua, okay? Yahweh, okay? It's what it means. It means salvation. And so we look up the names, and you see it tells you a little bit about their life and their character about them. And so we're going to talk a little bit about this, but before we get into the best part of it, I want to go over to Genesis chapter 28. I'm sorry, chapter
29.
I'm going to start, chapter 29. And we know over here that Laban had promised Jacob that he could work 7 years and have Rachel, but we know that he tricked him, didn't he, Pastor Donna?
Amen.
And so he had to wind up serving 14 years to get his wife that he really wanted was Rachel. And so if we read a little bit here, we can see what happens. And then we're going to go over to chapter 49 in Genesis also. Let's do this here. Where do we want to go here? Let's start in verse 21 of chapter 29. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. Remember, Israel was always called God's wife, wasn't he, huh? Verse 22, and Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah. Yeah, Zilpah, his maid, for a handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. We're going to see something with about Ephraim and Manasseh. We're going to see that change at the end of this.
He was in love with Rachel.
Right.
And Rachel's the one he met when he first went into the land of the east.
That's right.
And he loved her, and he worked for her hard for 7 years. And then her father deceived him,
tricked him.
Mm-hmm. And, well, I guess the father was hoping that Leah would get married before that, within those 7 years. But she didn't. No one married her or wanted her. So what did he do? He gave Leah in place of
Rachel. So maybe they were drinking that night or something. He didn't realize what was going on. We don't know what happened.
Well, they probably had their faces covered and everything else. You don't know. Maybe they didn't. I don't know. We weren't there.
But
we do know that Leah became his wife instead of Rachel. So he wasn't too happy about that when he found out.
That's right.
Amen.
And verse 7 here says, I'm going to read verse 6. And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country, as I read a moment ago, to give the younger before the firstborn. Well, the firstborn is going to be a picture of the church, you know, the ecclesia. Look at this.
That was 26.
Yeah. 27 says, fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou hast served, which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. So he wanted him to fulfill the week of Leah. And then he goes on, he says this, and Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, who was this Leah, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in also into Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 years.
So now he has two wives.
Now he has two wives.
And
he
two
has to
handmaids,
serve
right?
And two handmaids.
Right. So that's really half the fact.
Here's the key part, verse 31. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, now think about this.
Mm-hmm.
This is a picture of the church. You know, most of Israel that's not born again, they don't like the church. They don't like what we're saying about Jesus. They didn't believe that God had a son.
Leah is really a picture of the church.
That's right.
Right? And we'll see that later on.
That's right.
You know how the church, she came first. Well, the church
came first
because Israel wouldn't receive Yeshua.
Right.
But here he has one wife, and then 7 days later he has another wife.
Or 7 years later.
Well, no, it's because he had to
work. That's right.
Seven days later.
That's right.
And he had to work, which represents the 7 years. We could go in talking about the tribulation, couldn't
that's
we?
That's right, yeah.
But what happened, then he had to go ahead and work another 7 years, not 7 days, but another 7 years, for Rachel. So he really was deceived in many ways. And then he even had to work more years, you know, for all the cattle that he had. But here we have two wives within 14 days. And
two handmaidens.
And two handmaidens, and he had his hands full.
So the 12 tribes of Israel came out of four women.
Came out of these women.
But one husband, right. It's interesting, huh?
And, you
one
know,
man.
And of course, Leah, she started having children right away.
Right.
And, of course,
we can mention
the names of the children. But Rachel, it was a while before she had children. And
That's
she
right.
actually only had two and died with the birth
of Benjamin.
Of the last one that she had, Benjamin, the last child.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, here are these would be the 12. Maybe we need to mention the 12.
Oh, we can mention them in the order they come in. It tells you right here. Starting in verse 31, and when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. There was a reason, because we'll find out about this in a moment. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. Okay?
Reuben. So Reuben, remember that. Reuben is the firstborn.
That's right.
And instead of reading all through all these chapters of each one of them, maybe we could just list them.
Let's turn it. So the firstborn was Reuben.
Reuben.
The second one was Simeon.
Simeon.
The third one was Levi. And the fourth one was Judah. But we might mention something about these first four. It's a picture of what? Of the church, how we come to Christ and all that. Think about it. Reuben's name means what? To see. Simeon, his name means to hear. Levi means to be joined to. And Judah means to pray. So what? We hear, we see, we're joined to him, we begin to work. Praise God. Amen. Right at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the first four.
And you know, later on we'll find out that these first, Reuben and Simeon, really did some
bad things, didn't
some
they?
Things that they shouldn't have done.
That's right.
Go ahead, Pastor.
All right.
Jane.
Now, and the next son that came was Dan. All right. And then we had Naphtali came. Okay. And then we had Gad came. And then we have Asher came. And then the next one we had was boom, 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 boom.
Issachar?
Yeah, it's Issachar. All right. And then we come down, the sixth son
Zebulun.
Was Zebulun. The the seventh child that came was Dinah, which was a girl, was in here. But we're talking about the men. That's right.
And Joseph.
And then Joseph came, and we go over a few chapters, and we find out that Benjamin was the last one. But Joseph and Benjamin are key. We're going to see this in chapter 49, because Joseph's name means God will add, and then Benjamin means the son of the right hand. That ought to give you something very prophetic right there. God will add, okay? There was going to be one come later. And of course, we know what? Benjamin's name means what? The son of the right hand. Who is that? That's Yeshua.
Yeshua. And when we get into the promises, well, the words of blessing spoken over these 12 people, we will see how what the God is saying about their lives, how they live their life. You know, mm-hmm. we live our life, and when we come to the end, you know, there's things that we're going to be blessed with because we did, and there's things that we're going to be taken away.
That's
right. Some things will burn up, right?
That's it.
So, and Joseph, he was loved the most by his father.
Yeah.
Well, why? He loved Rachel the most, didn't he?
That's right.
And Joseph was the firstborn. Joseph was the firstborn of Rachel. So here we see that many times the firstborn has the greater blessings, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so he really, his first love. So you go back to your first love. Who was your first love, Pastor Gene?
You.
Me. Hallelujah.
My first love and my only love.
First and only love, right? Yeah. So he loved her greatly. And so doesn't it make sense that he would love Joseph, her firstborn, because she waited a long time to give birth, and she wanted to have a baby so bad. And I can relate to that because I wanted to have a baby so bad, and I had problems getting pregnant. But, you know, I had two children, just like she had two children. I had a girl and then a boy. But here, this child was greatly loved, and so much so that his father made a coat of many colors.
That's
and
right.
What? His brothers became jealous.
That's
his
it.
Brothers were all, they were, every one of them was jealous of him for some reason or another, except for Benjamin. Of course, that Benjamin was his brother, but the second child of Rachel. So here we see he had the favor of his mom and his dad and the favor of God. But, you know, many times when you have the favor you don't have the favor of other people because people get jealous.
That's right.
They're jealous. So his brothers were jealous. And besides, he said some things that made them even more jealous when he started telling them about his dreams.
Yeah, they wrote about down to him and all
and
that.
And they did not like that. So what did they end up doing? They were actually going to kill him.
They're killing me.
But they sold him into and took him to Egypt.
Yep.
So there he lived his life in Egypt. And of course, his father thought he was dead because, can you imagine, those sons connived together to put blood on that beautiful coat that he had and take it back to their dad and say that an animal had devoured him. Yeah, right. So, but we know he wasn't devoured. He went all into Egypt, and God had a purpose and a plan for his life. And sometimes when we see these things, and, you know, his dad, I'm sure, grieved probably a lot, and so
sure
did Rachel.
Did.
Imagine they both were very, very grieved, thinking that their son, their firstborn, was dead. But, you know, in the end, God had a purpose.
That's right. As you think about Joseph, a pattern, you're thinking, he's a pattern of Christ.
He is.
Look what he did.
Even,
he forgave all of his brothers and sisters.
He did.
He forgives anybody, anything, their sins, if they're obedient and they come to him. And so he was willing to do that. And then he finally revealed himself to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they realized how special he really was. And so, and think about it, with the dreams and all that he had in Egypt, well, he saved the nation of Egypt.
Yes, he did.
Because if he wouldn't have had those dreams and told the Pharaoh what to do, they might have all died. But he did that, and so God used him greatly. So it's incredible. So a pattern of the Messiah.
And I believe he believed God. He believed God. He believed those words that were those dreams that God had given him. And God still gives people dreams and visions, and it talks
That's
about
right.
in the last days. So, you know, he went into Egypt. He didn't go in there as a quitter. No, he never quit. He didn't go there as a quitter. And he worked hard. See, he worked hard. He worked very hard. And to become somebody or to do something for the Lord, many times you do have to work hard, you know. He was in a place of authority, and then he was back, then he was in jail.
Yeah,
and
then, something
and
he
then,
didn't do, right.
And then he interprets another dream for the Pharaoh, and now puts into another place of authority.
That's right.
And so even though he had ups and downs, don't we all have ups and downs, right? We are up and down. But if you stay strong in the Lord, that doesn't matter whether you're up or you're down. because you're balanced with the Lord, and you can stay on that even plane, and even if you're in the dungeon, you know, or in the palace,
right.
You know, you don't get prideful or you don't get depressed. You have to stay on balance, on track with the Lord. So he stayed on track with the Lord, and so God exalted him and gave him great authority. And even when he interpreted the dream that Pharaoh had, you know, Pharaoh could have gotten angry about that dream, because saying you're going to have 7 years of plenty and this is what you need to do.
7 years of famine.
And, you know, well, I'll receive the 7 years of plenty, but I've heard people tell me this. But don't tell me I'm going to have a tough time. Don't tell me I'm going to have a hard time. Yeah, I don't receive that. This is what they say to you. I don't receive that. I rebuke that. Well, you know, Pharaoh didn't say that. And what did he do? He listened to him. And I guess he got given him some wisdom, didn't he?
Sure did.
And so he put him over a place of authority, and he gave him all this responsibility how to take care of the people and how to bring in the food
to
and how to serve it
and
how
right.
to save the grain.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, how are you going to save grain? Keep bugs away from it.
That's
and all
right.
these things. And God must have given him all kinds of great ideas, you know, and so he implemented them. And so, you know, Pharaoh in Egypt was blessed because of that.
That's right.
And of course, we know, and as we're reading this, that there was a famine in the land, not only there, but also where Jacob was with his family.
Yeah.
And so they decided to go up to Egypt to get some food. Amen. Well, they didn't know their brother was still alive, and we don't need to tell the whole story. But, you know, I just love reading the book of Genesis. It teaches you so much, you
sure
know.
Sure does.
But, you know, Joseph did marry. And he didn't marry a Jewish woman. He married an Egyptian woman, and he did have two children. And I think we need to go and talk about those two children.
Well, think about this now. If we're going to go on, I was just thinking about, here's another pattern of Joseph like the Messiah, like Yeshua. Remember, he was charged with something that he didn't do, all right? And he was I don't know how long he was in prison, but they put him in prison. Yeshua was, you know, charged with crimes that he didn't do. He was the innocent one, but he did it for all of us. And so Joseph obeyed what needed to be done, even while he was in prison. He found favor and all that. And so that's what we have to learn how to do. We may have problems in our life and all that, but we have to know that Jesus is in our lives, and we can find favor in everything that we do. Amen. If we do the things that are right.
Amen.
So let's talk about Ephraim and Manasseh. Before
Ephraim
we talk about them, I looked these up. I had looked these up for a long time. Ephraim's name means this: double fruitfulness. Isn't that incredible?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have double fruit. And then Manasseh means causing to forget. Is there what their names mean?
Causing to forget.
Causing them to forget. So we're over here in Genesis 49 now, and we'll see what Jacob prayed over his sons. And if you look at them closely, it tells you a lot about their life and what they were going to be doing at that time before they passed away. Amen?
And before we go on, we remember the name of the first son was?
Reuben.
Reuben, and Reuben sinned greatly. He
sure
went
did.
In and lay down, slept with
his father's wife.
One of the wives, handmaidens.
Handmaids.
And Simeon and Levi, they did a terrible thing.
Yep.
They went and slew a whole group of people.
That's right.
And that was a great embarrassment to their father. And, you know, we'll go into reading the blessings, you will see that, you know, those things that were done in the past, we're going to see that it's going to be brought forth in the blessings they received because
right.
of the things that they did during their lifetime.
Now, one thing we might remember here as you do this, Joseph brought his two sons before his father for the father to bless them. Talk about that a little bit because
okay, let's go over there.
Joseph put his
that.
Hand on the wrong one. What he
well,
thought,
let's read that. Okay.
Or Jacob did.
Well, that's over. We're over in
chapter 49.
49.
Mm-hmm. But that part of it here is it actually in 48?
48.
Yeah.
47.
Let's read this. I'm going to start in verse 15 of chapter 48. And he blessed Joseph. Who's this? Jacob. His name was changed to Israel, and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day.
We need to back up, honey. We need to back up.
This is going
to
tell you right down here.
Verse 13, we got to back up. We got to back up.
I already mentioned he was going to bless him.
Okay, let's read that so for clarification. Okay.
Verse 13, and Joseph took them both, who's this, Ephraim and Manasseh, in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim. Now remember, Ephraim was the younger one. Who was the younger? And his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw this, that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed him that day, saying, In thee shall Israel bless, saying, God made thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh, and he set Ephraim before Manasseh.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, huh?
That's right. And we need to go back here and look at verse 4 of that chapter.
What, 48? Okay.
All right, 48.
Turn back here. Okay, mm-hmm. Go ahead, honey.
Well, you know, we know that the father was, you know, he was on his last days. He was getting ready to give up the ghost and die.
Mm-hmm.
And so he hears about it, and he goes to see his dad, and he takes his two sons. And I like what, see, verse 4 it says, And he said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people. Now this is key right here.
That's what his name means.
Multitude of people.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that this is about the last days. I will make of him a multitude of people.
That's right.
And will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession.
Yes.
Everlasting possession.
Mm-hmm.
In Hebrew, that is El Olam, mm-hmm. Everlasting possession. And verse 5, this is very key here, because when I was reading this, I thought, wow, this really is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, what? That's not in Israel,
right.
Egypt, before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine, as Reuben and Simeon. They shall be mine.
Sure.
So he's referring to here. If you look up what Reuben and Simeon, we're going to read what got the words that Jacob blessed over his sons. But Reuben was the firstborn, and he sent. And Simeon, he sent.
He's the second.
So here he says, as Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. So even though they did a great sin, they still were his. But he's comparing Ephraim and Manasseh to Reuben and Simeon. There's a reason he didn't compare them to the others. You know,
right.
He didn't compare it even to his father, Joseph. But he compared it to these two,
mm-hmm.
these two men. And we have to remember that Ephraim and Manasseh, they were not, they had a Jewish, they did not have a Jewish mother.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, father, yes, they did. But Jewish mother, they did not have. So I think that is very key
in what God is trying to say and wanting
to reveal to us. And as we read the Bible, that reveal to us some secret things. You know, God says he's going to reveal the secret things and some of the mysteries, right? And some of the keys to open up the full picture of God's plan for the earth, for the world.
So he blessed them.
He blessed them.
Manasseh before all the other children.
He blessed these two.
That's right.
Before he blessed the others.
That's right.
Can you imagine
mm-hmm.
if he would have blessed these along with the others,
uh-huh.
how jealous they might have been
mm-hmm.
or how angry they might have been. But the grace of God brought Joseph to his father before the rest of them, before the blessings were given to the rest of them. And he blessed these two boys. And they weren't very old, because it even says that they were at his knees or somewhere in there. It says that somewhere in here, at Joseph's knees. So here he has blessed these two boys, and then we go on and see, what's going to happen next. That he switched the hands. See, the right hand is the hand of blessing.
Right.
So Joseph even placed them in the position where they would be blessed the right way.
Yeah.
He even took the sons. You can read that all in there again. He even put the sons in the position facing his dad, so that when
his eyes were dim,
he couldn't see very well. He couldn't see the boys, so that he would put his right hand straight out.
That's
he
right.
would bless the Manasseh, and if he put his left hand straight out, he would bless Ephraim. So Joseph, even because he knew that, see, they know that, they know about the blessing. And we need to know about the blessing, because we pray over people all the time. And we did this last Sunday. we laid our right hand on people and blessed people and prophesied over them. Because this is a begin. This is a new year.
Right.
This is a new cycle of what's happening in the earth today and in people's lives. You know, when we look at the whole cycle of the year, but yet of 5775, but yet there's a cycle in each person's life, which is being an individual cycle. So here's this is what we're talking about. This is individual,
right?
But it's not. It's going to affect. It's going to affect end times.
Right.
So Joseph, in his foreknowledge, he positioned those boys in the right place. But see, that's not where God had positioned, because even though Jacob was not able to see very well, he was dim of eyes, it says, he crossed his arms.
That's right.
Whoa. He crossed his arms. Making a cross, Pastor Gene, look
yeah,
at this.
Just like that, yeah.
Making a cross,
yeah.
Which is, I'm getting the revelation, which is the Tav. The Tav is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and it's represented by a cross, an X, a cross.
Right.
He crossed his eyes, and that, and you would think the Jewish people would recognize that when they know all the Hebrew letters, they come to the last one in the Hebrew alphabet, and it's a Tav, and the picture is a cross. It says that he is the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the Aleph, and he's the Tav. The Tav is the cross.
Yep.
And so he crossed his arms, speaking forth. See, if you just knew the symbolism, right, Pastor
mm-hmm.
G? He blessed Ephraim, and he blessed Ephraim, and he spoke over these two
and
boys.
And displeased Joseph, and didn't it?
What? But see, Joseph didn't have. Joseph had the mind of the blessing. He knew the procedure of things. He knew
right.
the tradition. Okay, but Jacob, God had to spoken to him. God had to spoken to him. Cross your arms. You know, this is why when we hear from the Lord, this is why this is so important to know how to hear from the Lord. The Lord says, cross your arms. So you cross your arms. You don't know why. When God speaks a prophecy to somebody, I speak a prophecy to somebody, I may get one word. I don't get a whole sentence. I don't get a whole a paragraph. I just give one word. And God says, when you open your mouth, he will fill it, right?
Amen.
Well, so here his father is. God says, cross your arms. He crosses his arms. And then he starts to speak. All you have to do is say their name. And God starts to fill in the rest. And so he brings forth the rest of the prophecy or the rest of the blessing.
Yeah.
And so, Joseph was going to change it, but his dad says, no, this is the way it's going to be. Well, you know what? God said, this is the way it's going to be. Jesus Christ is going to die. He's going to die on the cross for all the sins of the world. And, you know, other people would have said, no, you can't do that. You know, he's the Son of God. God said, this is the way it's going to be. He's going to be nailed on that cross. Well, God has the final word. You know, man has thoughts and man has ideas, and we think that we know everything. We think we know how to do things a certain way. Well, you know, God, if we listen to God, God will give us the perfect directions, the perfect will of God, not the permissive will of God, but the perfect will of God. So I think that is pretty awesome that Joseph was heard the Lord to take his sons there, before the breasts of the brothers came, and that, you know, these two boys got the blessings of the Lord. First.
Amen.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Praise God. Just awesome. So we need to go and let's read what the blessings were over the different sons, okay?
You know, it mentions also, we didn't read verse 21 and 22 here.
Okay.
It says, and Israel said unto Joseph after this, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Now
Amen.
Listen to this. Moreover, I have given to thee
one portion
above thy brethren. Okay, really
wow.
high, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow.
And so you said, wow, well, I wonder what that was. Well, go back and read what he did with the Amorites. That's quite interesting as well. So here he has already saved one portion above thy brethren. Wow. And you know, he had to have done this while he thought that Joseph was dead. Interesting,
right? That's right.
Interesting. He could have said, okay, well, he's gone. Let's just divide this portion up against amongst the rest of the brethren. He says, no, he had saved. He had given, but moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren. He's giving them more.
That's right.
Wow.
Talking about the Amorites, it's caught my eye over in Genesis 15 when God spoke to Abram. After he did all this, remember we put the sacrifices and all that?
Mm-hmm.
Then verse 16 says, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites
is not yet full.
So this must have finished it, hallelujah.
It's finished it,
that's
praise
right.
God.
All right, we're going to go into chapter 49 now.
49.
And listen to some of the prophecies that Jacob gave over his sons, and are they mm-hmm. prophetic?
I'll start reading.
Go ahead.
And Jacob called unto his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days."
Remember
the last days.
Now it's the last days of these children's lives and all that, but it's also thinking about a double meaning about the last days
that
we're in right now. Yeah,
that's right, because it prophesies even the Son of God.
That's
right. Gather yourself together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father.
Yes.
Reuben. Now Reuben's the firstborn. Remember what he did.
Yep.
Thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength. See, that was when he was really strong, and the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power, unstable as water. Now, how would you like to have a word spoken to you about that?
Yeah.
Thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, and then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. He had sexual intercourse with one of his
wives.
With his father at his, in his, on his father's bed.
Wives, yeah.
So what an embarrassment that he mm-hmm. was. His firstborn of
That's
all
right.
things. Now he's going to talk about Simeon, second, and Levi. Those are the next two. Our brethren, they were brethren, instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. So that was not good. My soul, come not thou into their secret. They did a terrible thing unto their assembly. Mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a well. Cursed
a wall.
Be wall. I'm sorry, a wall. Cursed be their anger. He's speaking of curse. For it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Now, that's another whole topic of what's happened to Israel right
there. That's
right.
It sure is.
Now, Judah means praise. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Wow. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Well, that is really awesome. And, of course, we know Yeshua came out of the tribe of Judah.
Right.
Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey, my son. Thou art gone up. He stooped down. He crouched as a lion. And as an old lion, who shall rouse him up?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, this is powerful. You get goosebumps. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. You know what a scepter is, Pastor Gene?
It's a place to show authority
and
honor. Yeah.
Authority and honor.
That's right.
Nor a lawgiver. Who's the lawgiver? From between his feet.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Wow. This is, just think about Yeshua. Binding his foal unto the vine. And his ass colt unto the choice vine.
Remember, he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey.
Yes, he did.
On an ass.
Yes, he did. And he had there was a colt there as
right,
well.
That's right.
There were two of them, mother and a baby, a small one. He washed his garment in wine. What happened? The blood of Jesus was just
That's right.
All over his, and the beating and the things that he went through, and his clothes in the blood of grapes.
Like blood, yeah.
Now, this. Why is it mentioned twice? Okay, wine and then blood of grapes. Both of them represent blood. I'm thinking about the last days, you know, when it says the blood will be up to the...
Wine press.
Up to the bridle,
yeah, the
horses,
wine press.
Last days.
Yeah.
His eyes shall be red with wine and his teeth white with milk.
Revelation chapter 14.
Revelation.
In the future, yeah.
So here we go. Here's this in the first book in Genesis.
Sure.
And
grapes of wrath.
And it refers to the last book.
Mm-hmm.
Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be for a haven of ships, and his border shall be unto, is that Zidon?
Zidon, yeah.
Issachar is a strong ass, crouching down between two burdens. See, and these are more prophecies that you'd have to spend time just, seeking the Lord, what the meanings of them are. And he saw the rest was good, and that the land that it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulders to bear, and became a servant unto tribute. Now, Dan.
Wasn't Issachar the one that knew the times and the seasons?
He knew the times and the seasons.
That's right.
That's right. And we're going to read about these as we keep going through the Bible, you know. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Samson came out of the tribe of Dan,
yep,
didn't he?
He sure did.
And right. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path, that biteth the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. Some of these are prophecies.
It says, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord.
Yes. And Gad, he's a troop, shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last.
Mm-hmm.
Out of Asher, his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties.
Like Asher meant happiness or laughter.
Well, you know, a lot of these didn't get very long words, did they? You know,
nope.
A lot of times people get a prophecy, well, gee, their prophecy was 5 minutes. I mean, we've prophesied over people 5 minutes. Well, my prophecy is only 1 minute. Well, it doesn't matter. You know, the word of the Lord is the word of the Lord. Hey, amen. Naphtali, verse 21, is a hind let loose. He giveth goodly words. And Joseph. Now, Joseph, listen to this one. This is really good. Joseph is a fruitful bough, right? You read this one. Go ahead.
Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. That was a picture of his brothers.
Mm-hmm.
But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob.
Glory.
From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep, that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brother. So he said quite a bit about Joseph, didn't he?
He said his blessings would be above his progenitors, right? It was above all of them, all of the others. Amen. And now we go on to Benjamin. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is it that their father spake unto them, and blessed them. Every one according to his blessing he blessed them. So everyone, that's key right there, everyone according to his blessing, according to the blessing that he earned or he deserved, you know. Some of them didn't get a very good blessing. You know, some of them basically was like a curse. And so it's according to the blessings that he blessed them. According to, as you've been a blessing, you will receive a blessing as well, I believe. And verse 29, and he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my father in the cave that is in the field of Ephraim the Hittite. So they were to take his body out and to bury him there. And of course, they went. That's where Sarah was buried, and that's where Isaac and Rebekah were buried. And of course, his wife wasn't, because Rachel wasn't buried there. And so he asked them, take me there. And so what? Pharaoh, because of Pharaoh's favor, they all left, and they took them there, and they had a big funeral celebration for sure. And so, because Pharaoh allowed them to go. And so they did go, and they did return to Egypt, because their time to sit, to be in Egypt had not come to an end as of yet.
Let's look at one other thing here now, honey, about Benjamin. If we go to Genesis chapter 35, now I mentioned the name. Remember, Joseph's name means what God will add, and then Benjamin's name means the son of the right hand, which is a picture of what? A pattern of Yeshua. If we go over here to chapter 35, I'm going to start in verse 16. Listen to this. It says, and they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was departing, in other words, she died.
In childbirth,
for she died, that she called his name Benoni. But his father called him what?
Benjamin.
So it's, in other words, Benoni means the son of my sorrow. But the father says, nope, we're going to name him Benjamin, which is what? The son of the right hand. Pretty heavy, huh?
Pretty heavy.
That's right.
Amen.
So that was the last son that came.
The last son.
So there was 12 of them, and you can just see the words that were given to them is incredible, and so much of it was fulfilled in their lives. I told you a little bit about their lives. And so
yeah, 14 of them received a blessing.
That's right, 14 of them, counting, this was counting Ephraim and Manasseh. They all received some kind of a blessing, even though some of them did some things that were wrong, too, didn't they? But it's interesting when you read all this to see.
And it looked like Ephraim received the greater blessing.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. I think about Joseph. After all this happened, his father died, and remember they buried him and mourned for him all those days and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go over to verse chapter 14 now, and in chapter 50, the last chapter in
verse
the book.
Verse 14.
Of chapter 50, verse 14 in Genesis. It says, "And Joseph returned unto Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him, to bury his father after he had buried his father. Now, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him."
Mm-hmm.
So see, this is a picture of Jesus. You know, he didn't do that, did he, with anybody? He says, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, and they did unto thee eat, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brother also went and fell down before his face. And they said, "Behold, we be thy servants." And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God?"
Mm-hmm.
He asked him. "But as for you, ye thought evil against me." But listen to this.
But
God meant it unto
good
to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. He delivered the nation of Israel.
That's right.
"Now therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. Wow. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation.
Yes.
The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, "God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence." So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And remember, that promise was kept by the sons and all. Because remember, when they left Egypt, what happened? They went and got his bones and left. That's why Pharaoh knew they weren't coming back.
They carried the
and
bones
then he went
out.
After them. That's mm-hmm. what he carried. They mm-hmm. carried Joseph's bones out of the land of Egypt. It's incredible. Amen?
But, you know, Joseph had really already forgiven his
sure.
brothers, and they basically lied here.
Yeah.
Because this wasn't part of the word
mm-hmm.
that was given to Joseph.
Sure.
You know, and God knew Joseph's heart, and he knew he had a heart to forgive and a heart to help people, not only people, his own people, but the Egyptians, you know, because everything he did, he was fair.
That's right.
You know, he followed the Lord, and it was fair. And so that's why he was fruitful. He was fruitful in everything he did. God blessed him. He got the blessings of the deep, and the blessings of the breast, and the blessings of the womb. He got all the blessings. You know, he wasn't left out in any way. So he's a good picture to follow. Amen. He forgave his brothers. He didn't have
no matter
to,
what they did.
They didn't have to ask for. You know, nope. Really, they didn't have to ask for forgiveness. They had. They were still in fear. They had, now we're going to pay the price for what we did. You know, now that Dad's gone, you know, Dad's mm-hmm. gone. Dad's not here to protect us anymore. You know, isn't that how kids feel sometimes? And they were still acting like kids, weren't they? Like children.
Yeah.
But God blessed them, and God used Joseph, and he was humble.
That's right.
And he took care of his family. He took care of his brothers. And besides taking care of Pharaoh's family
yeah.
and all of the people that lived in Egypt. He had a big,
yeah.
big responsibility. And who does God give responsibility to? Those who are willing to do what God has called them to do. Willing to lay down their life for others.
And have great accountability in what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. One thing that always blessed me when I read this about Joseph was the first time all the brothers came, and when they came in the room, and they didn't know who he was. And he was so touched. Remember, he got up and left the room, went out of the room and went out.
That movie's really good about him.
He went out and just wept and wept and wept about his brothers. It's incredible. But I think that's the moment, I think, when he really forgave them everything that they had
mm-hmm.
done to him,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it's a picture of Yeshua.
He's like, he's a picture of Yeshua. He had unconditional love
all the time
for his brothers, for those who did cruel things to him. Can you imagine what it'd be like, that young man being thrown in? They're going to kill him, and then they throw him into this pit and sell him into Egypt. I mean, he could have had anger. How many people carry anger around? I'm speaking
all
to somebody
time.
Out there. Some people carry anger around all the time against somebody.
They
maybe
it
would
go.
Be your brother. Maybe it would be your sister or a mother or a dad. They carry this anger around throughout their whole life. And what does it do? It just eats them up like a cancer.
That's right.
So if we have taken this example of Joseph, who is a picture of Yeshua.
Amen.
Then Yeshua forgave everyone. He said,
sure did.
He says, don't hold this to their
account.
He forgave everyone. And so we need to listen to this, because if we would be like Joseph, okay, then we'd be like Jesus, really. We'd be forgiving. But he didn't hold anything. But so many people hold of anger and the unforgiveness in their heart, and that what it does, it just eats them up. And they can't go on, and it causes bitterness, and they can't go on, and they can't forgive, and they can't walk in love.
That's
See,
right.
Joseph knew how to walk in love. He knew how to walk in love. And so this is what we need. We need to know, we need to have this kind of examples in our life to walk in love and to forgive anyone that's done anything to you.
That's right.
You know, what do you do when you hold on to that anger? It's like a seed grows in you, and you know, it becomes so large, it becomes bigger than life, than even it was in the beginning.
You got it.
Because you have put soil, and you've put you've actually allowed the roots to grow and get deep.
And to be planted, right.
And be planted deep. Into you, and to hold on to you, and to grab hold of you, because you haven't let loose of these things that have troubled you. So, you know, if you're being troubled with something about somebody or something, you need to really bring it to the Lord. And you need to release it. And you really need to cut the roots off. And come against it and learn how to love people unconditional.
It doesn't matter what happened.
It doesn't matter.
That's right.
It doesn't matter. Unconditional love. Amen.
I'm thinking about Joseph weeping there. It reminds me of Jesus. Remember one time he looked over Jerusalem? It's the shortest verse in the Bible. It says Jesus wept. He looked over the city and realized that they were missing their day of visitation. Amen. So Joseph did the same thing. He went out in that room by himself and just wept and cried over his brothers, just like Jesus wept over his people at that time. So it's an incredible event. But you know, I was looking at this while you were talking. You go into the book of Exodus now, and these first few verses
this
are kind
is
of
what
important.
We're in this week.
Yeah. And verse 1 says, now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Jacob. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. This is the order they were born. Mm-hmm. Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin. Well, it wasn't the order. He switched it here. I thought it was the order. The first four are right. Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. All the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. Amen. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly. Remember, Joseph's name means fruitful. And multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. And then, of course, there was a new king that arose, a new Pharaoh came out that didn't know Joseph, and then they had some problems, didn't they?
It looked like they were taken over, didn't it?
Right.
Taken over Egypt.
Yeah.
Amen. That didn't go too well with the new Pharaoh. New Pharaoh. So
it's an amazing picture if you read this about Joseph, and he truly is. He's a total pattern of exactly what we see with our Savior Jesus Christ, the things that he did for all of us. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Mistreated, flogged, beaten, all those things. Joseph wasn't nailed to a cross, but they threw him in a dungeon out in the wilderness, and he could have died there, but God's plan was something else for him.
God had greater plans.
I like this chapter 50, verse 20, is the whole answer that Joseph said. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but mm-hmm. God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, and it is this day, to save much people alive.
Much people
alive. Think about Esther and Mordecai, the same thing. He was there for such a time as that, and God used him prophetically to declare the vision that the Pharaoh had and all that, and of course he became the governor of Egypt, and look at all that he did
and
for the glory of God.
And Joseph continued in hope and
right.
in faith mm-hmm. and in trusting God,
right.
even
no
when
where.
Things didn't look like
That's
they
right.
were going his way. And he could have thought, well, this dream, this vision is not going to come to pass.
That's right.
But he didn't see it that way. He saw it through the eyes of faith, the eyes of trust, the eyes of hope. Hope is in the future. You know,
always. Yeah.
You don't see hope until it comes.
That's right.
So he had faith and hope and love, and he loved God and he trusted in the Lord God of his fathers.
And no matter what situation he was in, that was against him, what did he do? He always did the right thing.
The right thing.
And so when he did, he found favor with God no matter where he was at.
Others didn't. Even when the baker and the butcher, said, we're going to speak good of you. Well, once they got out of prison, they forgot all about him.
Yeah, one of them spoke good, but the other one didn't.
But they both forgot all about him.
That's right.
Until the Pharaoh had a dream,
Yeah.
So, and then they finally remembered, there is somebody back there in prison. Let's see now. He told me a word. And then isn't that how life is sometimes?
Yeah.
Life doesn't always treat you the best, but God does, and God remembers. God doesn't forget.
It's how we handle those things, right?
Amen.
How we handle those things in our life.
Praise God. So I hope that this message has helped you see some things, because take a look at this and go over and read it again and go listen to it on podcast. You can go to WCNO and listen to this again and see what the Lord shows you. There's a lot of things that we don't have time to share. And within this
great
short
event
time,
in the Bible,
but this is very prophetic events in the Bible, and Ephraim is very important. If you look on and you see how he is, what's going to happen in the future. Well, this is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton. We're just blessed to be here on this radio broadcast every Saturday, Lord willing, at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. We also have services here in Stuart, Florida. And we are going to have Prophet Gary Brooks
hallelujah.
With us. Amen.
Again, hallelujah.
He is a true prophet of God.
Mighty man of God.
He'll be with us on January 30th, which is on a Friday at 7 p.m., and the 31st at 7 p.m., that's a Saturday. And he'll be with us February 1st, that's on a Sunday, at 10 a.m. So if you'd like to come, or if you'd like to, hopefully you can come to one of those meetings. I know you're going to be blessed. I'm going to give you the phone number in a minute. We can give you directions on how to come. If you'd like a calendar, I'd be glad to send you a calendar of January, which is already halfway. We're already halfway through January. It's unbelievable, Pastor Gene, how the time is just going by. But remember, we're in this new cycle of God's
right.
calendar. So
hallelujah.
We want to stay on God's calendar. So if you want to get in with the poor portions of reading, you can. I can send you that, or you can find it on the internet. Amen.
Amen.
So I'm going to need the telephone number. It's area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. And remember, you can listen to us on WCNO.com.
Right.
Saturdays at 12 noon, Pastor Gene Hilton, Raising the Standard.
So we've been sharing with you, these are pictures of the Messiah.
Pictures of the Messiah.
And my commentary, our book I wrote, is available for $25. And maybe $3 for shipping and handling. We'd be glad to mail it out to you. And you'll find out more about Joseph and what he did in a prophetic realm. There's a lot
Amen.
In his life. And so this is what we're doing. We're raising the standard, and we want you to see the prophetic pictures that's in the Word of God that was done hundreds of years ago. It's coming into place now that's apropos, even in our day. Those double
yes.
meanings, those patterns that are there.
Patterns.
So we're on this program every week because we love people. We want to see your life raised to a new dimension in the realm of the Spirit to walk in deeper things.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we close this program every week, we tell you to do what, Pastor? To Pastor, what do we tell them to do?
Look up.
For your redemption draweth nigh, and what do you say?
I say Shabbat Shalom, which means Sabbath, peace, and rest.
God bless you all till next week.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.